We're going to finish up our series in Exodus today. But before we do that, it's been a while since we have given away a Heart of Urshan Award. And I have one to give away today. Now, this Heart of Urshan Award that we seek to do on a regular basis, but sometimes time passes by and just don't have the time or the space to do it. But we want to honor and recognize students in our community who reflect the values that we say we believe here at Urshan. The values of honesty, honor, integrity, love for others, servant leadership, the values of our honor code. We want to honor. And there are many of you who may never receive one of these and get recognized publicly that we could. There are many of you that we could honor. There are. And we get several responses. My office gets several responses from our faculty and staff, administration. We ask them from time to time to give us some recommendations. So this individual today that I want to recognize, faculty, staff, administration, wrote these words about this individual. She has a servant's heart, always willing to help anyone that needs a helping hand. She's been consistently kind and loving to everyone around her since the moment she stepped on the campus. A beautiful example of Christ and represents the heart of Urshan well. And I think you'll agree with me, and I want to recognize today Rochelle Holbrook. Amen. Just stay standing. Again, we could give this to many of you. And hopefully we get to honor you in front of the student body from time to time or at some point in your stay here. But there are many names that we receive, and we just kind of have to pick from those. And sometimes we get multiple responses. But we do. We want to honor, of course, those we publicly honor, but I want to honor all of you who display the values of Urshan, that you live honesty, honor, integrity. You may not just know we live that way because it's pleasing to God, because it's biblical, right? And we may not ever receive public recognition for it. But one day you will. One day you will. You'll hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's the only recognition that I want. But it will come. Amen. We want to live according to biblical principles and please and honor God. I want to finish this series today. This series, this is God's fight. Let me tell you today, this is a super simple message. Very simple. I'm not going to, of course, I never blow your mind, but I'm not going to blow your mind today. Super simple. I told Bethany as I walked up, and I'm sure she passed along the word. I told them what song I want us to go back possibly to Faith Over Fear at the end of this. I sense a spirit of expectancy here today, because we've talked a lot the first couple messages. We've talked a lot about the challenges, the addiction, the slavery, the bondage that we feel, and God wants to set us free. And we talk about depression a lot. We talk about anxiety a lot. We talk about these things that bind us a lot. We focus a lot on that. And rightfully so, because a lot of people deal with that. And from time to time, we deal with those things. And it's real life. We might as well not ignore it because it's real. But I believe there comes a time when we just have to believe God. And God gives victory. And God works, because this is His fight. This is His battle. Exodus 14, beginning of verse 13. I'm going to read two verses to you. Exodus 14, beginning of verse 13. Yes, ESV. Verse 13 says, "And Moses said to the people, 'Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. Let that promise sink in. Put yourself in their shoes. 400 years of slavery. And through Moses, the Lord says, these people that have enslaved you for 400 years, today's the day you will never see them again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. This is God's fight. Amen. I want you just to join with me right now in expectation. I want you to lift your voice and let's believe the Lord to speak this word to our hearts today. Lord, thank you for what we feel. Thank you for answered prayer. We've heard miracles. We've heard already mentioned in this place today. God, I thank you for what's in the atmosphere, Lord. I thank you, Lord, there are people on the brink of their, not only their deliverance that they've been receiving, but complete removal of the enemy that has dogged their track for years, months, weeks. We're believing right now, God, for complete deliverance and victory in this place today. God, we're believing you to show yourself mighty, show yourself powerful, that you will fight on behalf of your people. We worship you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Praise God. You can be seated. Our propensity for being negative, it's just part of our human condition, I think. Of course, there are positive people. There are negative people, but we all have that in us that we just like to be negative sometimes. How many consider yourself you're a positive person? Okay. How many consider yourself you're a negative person? How many didn't vote? Yeah, majority of you. Let me ask you, when stress comes into your life, what's your first reaction? Positive or negative? When you wake up that Wednesday morning and you totally forgot to turn in that paper Tuesday night, what's your initial reaction? Positive, skipping to class? Woo! Negative? No. When you hear of God doing something for someone you don't like, what's your initial response? Positive or negative? God healed them, but I haven't seen God healed me. Is it a positive or negative? When something doesn't go your way, what's your initial response? You see, we all just have this bent sometimes just towards being negative. Sometimes we can even react with negativity and doubt when God gives us a promise. Feel like God wants to do something, or the preacher preaches and it resonates in your heart. God wants to do that in me. Or you come to the altar and you lift your hands, you pray, you're like, God wants to do that in me. And then you walk away and something just overcomes you. Instead of believing and professing faith, somehow we find a way to spin it to the negative. I don't know if I really believe that. Nope, good things never happen to me. Something's going to go wrong. I know it. In this series that we've looked at in Exodus, we've watched the Israelites as they suffered in slavery, and then as God's plan for deliverance started to come together, we watched as the burdens placed upon them by their Egyptian taskmasters became too heavy to bear, and their desperate cry for freedom and deliverance reached the throne of God. Remember, God heard their cry and remembered his covenant with them and saw them with compassion, and God knew it was time to act. And we learned that the Lord will fight for those who truly want to be free. And then from that realization, the biblical scene went immediately to Moses in the desert outside Midian, where God spoke to him from the midst of a burning bush and called him to deliver the people of Israel. And then through a series of miraculous signs, God told Moses he would be with him and work wonders and signs through him. From the waters turned to blood to the death of the firstborn, we learn that great deliverance is often preceded by great wonders and signs. And that God wants to work through us. God wants to heal through us. God wants to deliver through us, perform miracles through us. He has great deliverance planned for his people and for those who will seek him. Which brings us to Exodus 12. Now give me a couple minutes to get to my one main point, this one simple thought. It's going to take me just a few minutes. Exodus 12, the Israelites are on the brink of walking out of Egypt. It's the eve of the final plague, the one that will utterly break the hardened heart of Pharaoh. This 10th plague, where the death angel will come and claim the life of the firstborn of every household that does not have the blood applied to its doorpost. The Lord told the Israelites, he said, be ready. Eat your dinner tonight while anticipating your imminent departure. With your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, eat in haste because this is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. This blood shall be a sign to you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. And then he said, this shall be a memorial. This is Exodus 12, 14. This shall be a memorial day. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. He said, never forget this day. Never forget this day. Mark this in your mind. We're going to mark it with a yearly feast. Mark this. Never forget this day. Deliverance from Egypt was, and actually still is, an event the Jews remember every year. They remember their deliverance from slavery and bondage through the shed blood of the Passover lamb. I'd be remiss if I didn't just mention this, that we must never get too religious, that we fail to remember our bondage to slavery and sin and how destitute and how lost we were, but the blood of the Lamb of God was shed so that we might be free. We must never forget that. Because that's what brought us out in the first place. That's what pulled us out of a place that we could not get out on our own. That pit of sin that we had made, that mess we had made of ourselves. We could not be free, but thank God for the blood. Washes white as snow. Exodus 12, 29 goes on, at midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. There's some events in Scripture I wish I could have been there to see. This is one of them. I'm glad I wasn't there. It would have been terrifying. Worse than any horror movie that you shouldn't have ever seen anyway. Can you imagine the wails and the cries and the screams from mamas and daddies all filled the dark night? The Lord struck down from the firstborn of Pharaoh to the firstborn of the captive in the dungeon. All the firstborn of the livestock. So Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt. For there was not a house where someone was not dead. Of course, he summoned Moses, Aaron, and said, y'all get out. This is it. It's enough. We go serve the Lord. Go do what you said. Take your flocks, take your herds, take everything, be gone, and bless me. Have mercy on us. The Egyptians, verse 33, were urgent with the people to send them. The whole country wanted them gone. For they said, if they don't leave, we're all going to die. And verse 51, on that very day, the Lord brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their hosts, by groups, by masses, just brought them all out of Egypt. The day finally came. It had been a long time, it seems, since Moses and Aaron first showed up and began to demand Pharaoh to let them go. But the day finally came. Some of you have been waiting on that day. I don't think it's ever going to come. Some of you, you've been here at Urshan for 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 years. And the day's never going to come that I'm going to get to do what God's called me to do. The day will come. If God promised it, the day will come. Just hold on. The day's going to come. On that very day, God finally did it. He brought them out. Verse, going to chapter 13. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the land of the Philistines. He didn't want them to face war right off the bat. So, verse 18, God led the people around the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the Lord went before them by day with a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel both by day and by night. Pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night did not depart from the people. The miraculous followed them, led them. And then chapter 14. The Lord said to Moses, tell the people. He's getting ready to give Moses some instructions here. And I find it interesting. This is like the second or third time this has happened in this narrative up here through chapter 14. Where God's told Moses, tell the people exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to take place. So you are not surprised. And even though God tells them exactly what's going to take place, they still get negative and doubt. Sometimes we wonder why God doesn't just tell us. Some people have said, well, if God tells us, then we might have trouble taking it all in because it could be too grand. So he just spares us that. Maybe. I just think sometimes God doesn't tell us because we won't believe him anyway. Why tell us his entire plan? Because we're going to have trouble believing him anyway. The Lord says to Moses, tell the people of Israel, turn this way, go camp there, face the sea, and tell them, Pharaoh's going to say to the people of Israel, will say of the people of Israel, he's going to start talking about you guys, that they're y'all wandering in the wilderness. The wilderness has shut you in. And Moses, tell the people, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart, and he's going to pursue you. He told Moses to tell the people this. But then he says, I know it sounds bad, but I'm going to get glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts, and the Egyptians shall know that I'm the Lord. And they did so. The mind of Pharaoh and his servants were changed toward the people. And they said, what's this we've done? Let's go after Israel. He made ready his chariot, got his army together. He took 600 chosen chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers in them. In verse 9 of chapter 14, the Egyptians pursued them, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them and camped at the sea. What God said happened would happen. No surprise. God told Moses to tell the people this was going to happen. The Bible says they overtook them. Have you ever felt overtaken by an enemy you thought you'd been set free from? This is what has happened here. Now, this idea of being overtook, our sense of the word is this idea of being overcome or overwhelmed or besieged upon. But that's not what the scripture's meaning here. Because the very next verse says they only got near them. They only got close to them. But I do know there are times when we can feel overtaken. When delivered, fear might try to overtake us, but you have been delivered and your enemy has been defeated. Even though you might feel like you're about to be overtaken, you've got to remind yourself and remind your enemy, he is a defeated foe. God has set me free. No fear can overtake me. No worry can overtake me. No doubt. You do not have to be overtaken. You've been set free. I believe God's been doing a work over these last few weeks in some of your lives. God's been delivering. God's been setting free. God's been doing a work. And you've got to realize when God does a work, he does it perfectly. And though you might fear like the enemy's going to catch up with you and that you're going to be overtaken, you've got to be reminded God sets you free and you do not have to be overtaken. When Pharaoh drew near, see, he just got near. He didn't overtake them. The people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. Now here comes the negativity and doubt. Even though God told Moses, tell the people exactly what would happen. All right, we established that. God told Moses, tell the people. Even though God told Moses to tell the people, now this is what's going to happen, guys. I want you to go camp here. Pharaoh's going to wake up, and he's going to realize you guys are gone. And I'm going to harden his heart, just like I've done the last 9 plagues. I'm going to harden his heart. Why? So he can torment you no more? No. Hey, I'm going to have him pursue you so I can get final glory over your enemy. I'm going to let him pursue you so you can see me show my power in a greater way you've ever seen me show my power. You've seen me show my power over the elements. You've seen me show my power while you were in bondage in Egypt. But I'm going to show you that my power still works even when you're not in bondage. Even when you're outside of Egypt. Even when you're in the wilderness and camped by the sea and have nowhere to go. God told them exactly what was going to happen. And yet when what God said happens, happens. There you go. The people couldn't help themselves. Couldn't help themselves from speaking negatively and professing doubt. Look at verses 11 and 12 of chapter 14. They said to Moses, is it because there's no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done in bringing us up out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Wow. Even when God gives a promise, some people can't help themselves. So this brings us to our text. So Moses said to the people, fear not. Stand firm. And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the enemies, the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see them never again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. Other translation says, just hold your peace. Just be still. The context is, just be silent. Here's my simple thought. When God says he has it, just keep your mouth shut. When God says he has it, just keep your mouth shut. You see, Moses learned this at the burning bush. God spoke promise after promise to him. And 3 times Moses argued with God, made excuses, spoke negativity, spoke doubt until God got mad at him. When God says he has it, keep your mouth shut. But some can't help themselves. God says he has it, and we complain. God says I got it, and we tear down our leadership.
God says, no, I got it, and I tear down my peers. God says, just trust me, and I find fault. God says, I have this, just believe, and we express doubt. When God says he has it, just keep your mouth shut. Now, ideally, when God gives a promise, that's the time we should be speaking faith. That's the time we should be praising God. That should be the automatic response. God says, I'm going to do this. We ought to say, yes, Lord, I believe it. On our feet, clapping our hands, waving our arms. God is my victorious Savior, and he's got this. I should be praising him. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, whether it's good times or bad times or times of question and uncertainty, but especially during times of great promise from God. I should be blessing God. I should be praising God. I should be amening. Yes, God, that's what I believe. You say you got it, I'm going to let you have it. You say you're in control, you got it. God, this is your fight. That's ideally what should happen. Like Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:13, speaking of his sufferings he'd been going through and alluding to the psalmist David. Verse 13 says, since we have this same spirit of faith according to what has been written. And here he quotes David. He says, I believed and so I spoke. David wrote this in Psalm 116 when he was going through difficulties. The psalmist wrote it when he's going through difficulties. He said, I still believe because God's on my side. So I spoke. And Paul said, I have the same faith the psalmist had. And even though I'm going through difficulty, I know God's promised me deliverance. So I believe, and I'm going to speak. He believes it, so he's going to profess it. He's going to speak it. And this is the ideal for the believer. But some of us can't help ourselves. And so we just need to keep our mouths shut. But God can't use me. No! Mouth shut. But I can't do this. No, mouth shut. This is impossible. No, mouth shut. It's enough. God said he has it. God said he's got it. This is his fight. He's on the throne. He's in charge. He knows what he's doing. He's going to get glory out of this. But keep your mouth shut. If you can't praise him, keep your mouth shut. If you can't worship him, keep your mouth shut. If you can't believe him, keep your mouth shut. When God says he has it, just keep your mouth shut. I want to help somebody here today as the musicians come. I want to help. I told you, very simple message, but I want to help somebody who has this propensity, who has this inclination that when God says he wants to do something in your life, you have everything in your power you do so you can come up with an excuse why he can't do it. No, if God says he has it, keep your mouth shut. Nothing kills revival in a church more than when the people start getting excited and believing God for great things. And then there's this group of people that just got to run their mouths. If you don't believe it, just keep your mouth shut. If you're having trouble, keep your mouth shut. Just believe God. This is his fight. This is his fight. Stand with me if you would. So the Lord said to Moses, verse 15, why do you cry to me? Well, why? We've been through this, Moses. By now, shouldn't you know by now that when I say I've got it, I've got it? That when I'm working things out and my hands involved, take your hand off. When I say walk this path, just close your mouth and walk that path. When I say I want to do this for you, only thing I want to hear from you is say, yes, Lord, that's it. If you can't say that, then shut your mouth. Why do you cry to me? Verse 15, tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff. Oh, Moses. Miracles still follow you outside of Egypt. I don't give you miracles just so you can get delivered. I give you miracles to get you delivered so you can get out and get other people delivered. My miracles do not stop in Egypt while you're in slavery or in bondage. I go with these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name you're going to cast out devils. In my name you're going to speak with new tongues. In my name you're going to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Lift up your staff, Moses. Stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. God, we've never done this before. But I need you to divide it so everybody can cross over on dry ground. He gives him this promise. And he said, Moses, I know I probably shouldn't do this, but I'm going to give you a little insight into what's about to happen. I'm going to harden the heart of Pharaoh. Just because another miracle happened, he's not going to stop. He's going to keep pursuing you. But Moses, this is my plan. Let him pursue. Because I'm going to get glory over it. I'm going to get glory over watching Pharaoh and his armies fade off into the scene. And the Egyptians are going to know I'm the Lord when I've gotten glory over Pharaoh. I know it's dangerous, Moses, telling you exactly how it's all going to happen because you guys still can't believe me. But I'm going to get glory over this. And when I say I've got it, just keep your mouth shut. God's going to get glory. And if he says he's going to get glory, it's going to happen. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind. All night long, the wind was blowing. All night long, the wind was blowing, made dry land appear. The waters were divided, and the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, waters being a wall on their right hand and on their left. And exactly what God said happened would happen. The heart of Pharaoh was hardened. And verse 23, the Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea. All Pharaoh's horses, all of his chariots, all of his horsemen. Some of you are being battled so hard right now because the enemy knows he's lost you. And he's sending every bit of his arsenal after you. But do not be dismayed and do not fear. It's been all a part of God's plan. Because once and for all, he's going to get rid of your enemy. And the enemy you see today, you will see again no more. They pursued him. And then the Lord said to Moses, you know what to do. Stretch out your hand over the sea that the water may come back over the Egyptians. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. Not one little miniature general escaped out of the sea and ran back to Egypt. Not one remained. Not a remnant. Not a piece. Not a feeling. Not a little bit of the addiction. Not just the residue of it. Not even the haunting memory. Not one remained. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptian. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. God says he has it. Just keep your mouth shut. until you can praise him. Until what comes out of your mouth is, I believe, Lord. I don't care about the negative ones around me. I'm going to speak faith. I've got the same faith that my father David. I've got the same faith that the apostle Paul. I've got the same faith of the great cloud of witnesses that have gathered around my arena where I'm fighting right now. I've got the same faith. So I'm going to speak. I'm going to declare, God, you're my God. God, you're able. You get the glory. You get the honor. You deserve the praise. You've got it, God. This is your fight. I believe you. Somebody here today, I want us just to have a few moments of victory here today. You may not even feel completely delivered or set free. This is your day when God's going to do a work in you. I want you just to begin to lift him up and take a moment and worship him and praise him and declare the victory. I've got that same faith, and so I'm going to speak and I'm going to declare the goodness of the Lord because he is worthy. Not fear, I'm going to speak faith. Not discouragement, I'm going to speak truth. Not death, I'm going to speak life, because he's worthy.